Hello, this is David. I'm host of Observations of Deviance. Today we have a very special interview with musician Riley Walker. Riley, welcome to KXCI.
Thank you for calling.
I guess the occasion of us having this interview is your tour with Richard Thompson. I know you've been on tour for about 2 weeks. How's the tour been going so far?
Every night's been great. I'm playing in rooms I usually don't get booked in, so it's pretty cool to have Richard's audience every night at the gigs. That they're really good listeners and a lot of fun.
I heard you, at least on your Twitter feed, you had some problems with snow. How did that affect your tour?
Oh, just, you know, the Northwest, and coming down I-15 from Missoula was covered in blizzards, so it was a lot of near-death moments, I'd say. I'm a bit turned inside out from it. It was a wild ride, but now I'm down in the desert, and thank Christ everything's better with the weather.
Well, good, but everybody safe and sound?
Everybody's safe and sound.
Okay, great. Well, have you played in Tucson before? I saw you play up in Phoenix a few years ago, but have you played in Tucson before?
Yeah, I played in Tucson once, I think a couple years ago at the Congress. It was great. I had a lot of fun. There's a lot of, I don't know, I really like when cities have a lot of kind of crazy, wild, late night, sort of weird dive bars and street characters, you know, and Tucson's full of them for certain. Yeah, it's a really interesting place. A lot of really good huevos rancheros.
So you like the Mexican food?
Well, how could you not?
So you were in Santa Fe last night, I think?
Yep, had a gig in Santa Fe.
How did that go?
It was fantastic. It was really packed out to the brim. I think I played all right. Probably wasn't the best I've played on the tour, but I feel good about it. I like Santa Fe a lot. I really enjoy all the turquoise, and it's just a really beautiful place and a lot of really good natural beauty.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to see much of the desert here in Tucson?
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the Midwest, so the desert's always been a pretty fascinating place to me. You know, where I grew up outside of Chicago. But, you know, outside of the metro Chicago area, the rest of the Midwest is just, you know, cornfields and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's our drives. You know, the drives here are really wonderful, and there's a lot of really, really great passes to go through. And, yeah, the desert still holds a lot of mystical stuff for me. I'm terrified of it, and then I don't know it too well. And I'd probably get eaten alive if I was left to my own devices. But yeah, I've got the chance to see a really good chunk of the desert touring all these years.
Great. In terms of how I first came across your music, it was actually through Rob Sevier of Numero Group. Before you put out the Primrose Green album, I know he was on a music blog talking about your music, and that was the first thing that I ever saw about it, so that's what caught my eye. How did you hook up with Rob Sevier?
Well, I live in New York now, but I just moved to New York, you know, pretty recently, but I lived in Chicago for years, and just being in the music scene in Chicago, Rob was, you know, pretty omnipresent, obviously. I had been a big fan of Numero Group before meeting him, but we just got to become pretty close buds. And at one point we lived together, and we still keep in pretty regular contact. Yeah, he's a really good friend and definitely a linchpin of Chicago music. So, yeah, just, you know, being involved in the music scene there, I got to know him pretty well. Him and the rest of the Numero Group staff were all really fantastic.
And they're part of the Secretly group now, aren't they? Which is, and your label Dead Oceans is also part of that group, am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Numero Group is part of the larger umbrella of Secretly Group.
And you mentioned Chicago, and in other interviews I've seen you talk about how you try to put some flavor of Chicago in your music. How do you try to get that flavor of Chicago, or have you in the past, into your music?
Well, I think a lot of Chicago music is heavily based around sort of improvising. I don't want to say jamming, but, you know, jamming is a big part of it. You know, there's a lot of sort of free jazz and experimental music there that I was heavily involved in for a lot of years, or, you know, hanging around a lot of it for a lot of years. And I think the cross-pollination of you know, sort of noise music and punk music and indie rock. All those things kind of make Chicago what it is, and that it's a big hodgepodge of music. Mm-hmm. There's no one sound. It's just a lot of people making a lot of different and new and exciting sounds. So I guess Chicago's, you know, it's not based on a specific sound by any means, but I think it's definitely a very certain vibe and feeling, mm-hmm. in that it's a big hustle town. People like to work and stay busy. A lot of musicians hang out with each other. There's no really big lines drawn in the sand. Everybody's kind of just hanging together. So I try to keep that mentality in my music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned improvisation, because one of the things that's drawn me to your work is, though, although you sometimes get tagged as maybe a folk artist, I think it's your rhythm and the drummers that you use. It's kind of like jazz time, at least to my feel. And like, no matter what you do, it seems like there's always a kind of a swing to it, a jazz feel or a swing rather than like a 4-4 rock time. Is that something that you're drawn to?
Yeah, well, typically the musicians I play with have always been jazz musicians or free jazz musicians or improvising musicians. So yeah, to have that sort of swing in the music has always been big. Chicago, I've always played with Chicago musicians 98% of the time, and all the drummers I've used are heavily involved in the jazz scene.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that influence definitely seeps through, and I've always liked records like that. You know, I love, you know, Four on the Floor, solid rock drummers like John Bonham or, you know, Keith Moon or whatever. But I really like the sort of sticky sort of ECM vibe,
mm-hmm.
On my own records and stuff. So, yeah, I enjoy exploring those themes a whole lot.
Yeah, I thought one track in particular, that your track Age Old Tale, when I first heard that, the first thing I thought, you know, wasn't like folk rock. It was like Alice Coltrane. That's, you know, not that you're copying her, but I thought that feel was there. And it kind of reminded me how another folk guy, John Martin, talked a lot about Pharoah Sanders. Is that kind of something, the feel you're going for, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love John Martin. I love Pharoah Sanders. Yeah, see, that's a good mentality I like to keep on. I mean, I don't really want to be a folk musician with a capital F, you know. I mean, I love traditional folk music, and obviously, you know, folk music is a big part of my life. But I don't know, just like being involved in folk music, it's not something I want to be involved in that, mm-hmm. much, a folk scene. I just like writing songs, and, you know, and yeah, like John Martin taking influence from Pharoah Sanders, you know, there's just so much more sonic exploration out there besides, you know, some Wednesday night open mic where some wiener is singing about not being able to have the courage to ask a barista out, you know. It's, yeah, so I just, the idea of being a folk musician, solely folk music, isn't really my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I like the traditions of folk music, but I don't really see myself as heavily involved in that sort of scene or anything.
Mm-hmm. And following up on the avant-garde jazz thing, one of my favorite guitar players is Derek Bailey. He kind of is a unique guy. I was wondering, you know, are you familiar with that sort of real deep free improvisation on the guitar that like Derek Bailey has? And is that in any way an influence on you?
Yeah, I love Derek Bailey. I'm a big fan. I like all of his early stuff, but that record Ballads, I think it's like one of his last records. Covers record or whatever. I really loved that. That record was pretty important for me. Yeah, Derek Bailey and Keith Rowe and all of AMM music.
If you could,
really big for me.
Oh yeah, you were just cut out there for a second, but that's good. We got you.
I love all that stuff. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, great. And do you still dislike Leonard Cohen?
I haven't really listened to him much. I mean, that piece was just entertainment. You know.
Okay.
It's Vice magazine. I don't really hold it that big. It's just, people took that so seriously. And, you know, it's just the day and age. It was just entertainment. You know, I think the whole point was to gauge a reaction from people, and I guess I got it. Whatever. I haven't really listened to him much now, but I'm probably not going to. I'm a little burnt out.
No, I hear you.
I think, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry if people like him and they didn't like what I said about it.
No, it's always good to hear a different opinion, because Leonard Cohen, you always hear such rarefied things. He's so perfect in every way, but, you know, he's a human being too.
Yeah, well, you know, people tell me they're going to kill me over that. It was probably the funniest thing that's happened in my life. Like, people like were literally like, I'm going to murder you. And, you know, it's just like, well, all right. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, music is as serious as your life, but maybe not that serious.
Yeah, that's another thing that turns me off about folk music. It's just, God, or music in general is just, you know, yeah, I don't know. I love music, and music has saved my life, but I don't know. People take themselves pretty seriously in this business.
Yeah, well, I guess that would get to one of my last questions about, you kind of have a self-deprecating kind of personal persona, especially on your Twitter feed. There's very, you're outspoken and kind of raucous. But on the other hand, your music tends to be, at least seems much more contemplative and introspective and spiritual, maybe. How do you see that dichotomy between your personal kind of Twitter persona and your persona in that Vice magazine versus, you know, what you're putting forward in your music?
I think things like Twitter and my personality, I mean, I've been like, you know, I've been kind of this way since I was a child. You know, I've always been kind of goofy. And I guess stupid is a good way to put it, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think the music thing is kind of more of a character than anything. I don't want to say character, that sounds pretty pretentious. But the music thing is kind of something I wear more. I mean, I like to have a sense of humor in my music as often as I can, you know. But I don't take myself too seriously, and I just really enjoy living, and I enjoy the heck out of life, and I'm trying to just get by without going nuts. And I guess it's always been therapeutic for me to approach things with being able to laugh at them or not taking them so seriously, for better or worse sometimes, I guess. But I don't know, that's like, Twitter's just an extension of what I was doing at the lunch table in middle school, you know, just trying to get a rise out of my friends or something, or be funny.
Okay. Well, any words for the Tucson folks? I know I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you Sunday. What can the folks expect when they come to see you and Richard Sunday here at the Fox Theater in Tucson?
Well, the show's great. I open up, I do 30 minutes. I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm playing solo on my acoustic. I'm ripping it up every night, and Richard's band is killer. He's got this awesome trio. They've got like everything down to, you know, the tiniest molecule of just really insanely good chemistry. They're such a tight band, and they're busting out some old classics. I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, I think the audience is in for a good gig.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, as I said, I'm a big fan of yours and Richard Thompson's. I've played my show is mostly vinyl, so I play your vinyl records, his vinyl records, and my show this Sunday is going to be all your music and his music, all on vinyl. And, oh, I guess one last quick question about, what about the vinyl revival? Is that something you're kind of in tune with?
Yeah, I mean, I collect records. I've been collecting records for a long time. I think, you know, the vinyl revival or whatever, as we know, it kind of started going off, you know, over 10 years ago now. I remember being in, like, I first went to college in Chicago in 2007 when I was, like, 18. I guess that was kind of the start of it. And I remember it was, like, every place started having records. You know, Best Buy had records. Urban Outfitters had records. Mm-hmm. The grocery store, you know, so... I mean, I'm all for it, you know. I'm not one of those people who, those record snobs who points their nose down at the general populace for enjoying cool records. I say, do it up. It's nice to hold music in your hands.
Absolutely. Well, Riley, I really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to seeing you. And this was Riley Walker, who's going to be touring here with opening for Richard Thompson Sunday, February the 17th at the Fox Theater. My name's David. I'm the host of Observations of Deviance. And again, Riley, thank you so much from KXCI. We appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye now.